It's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question. Pink on the lips of your lover. Cause pink is the love you discover.
Welcome to the Marilyn York Show. Warning, this program is not for the faint of heart. Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Good morning. You guys are on the Marilyn York Show, and I missed you guys. I was gone for 2 weeks, as you may or may not know, in New York City. And so I was not in New York City the whole time. Okay, I should be so wealthy, but I'm glad to be back and can't wait to talk to you guys. And today's guest is Andy Grace. Welcome to the studio, Andy.
Hi, thanks.
She is a media relations Burning Man employee for the actual company Burning Man. And we're going to talk all about intellectual property, the legal world, the business that is Burning Man, given that Burning Man is about to start. The timing could not be better, and it was not an accident. If you guys want to call and talk to Andy, the phone number to call in is 823-1920, so please feel free to. You can also get on my personal Facebook at any time, because apparently my fan page disappeared. Welcome to the world of Facebook. I am told this is not uncommon. I wish I would have known that before I put all that energy into it, though. So if you are not yet a member of my personal Facebook, please friend request me. I'll be happy to accept it. And then we can talk on Facebook as always. And you can always get on the MarilynYorkShow.com as well and see upcoming shows or listen to archives as always. So Andy, your nickname on the website is Action Girl. Mm-hmm. So tell our listeners first what the website address is in case they don't know.
www.burningman.com.
All right. If you guys want to get on there, it's a really cool website. I was looking at it this morning and it has amazing, I mean, it's full
huge.
Of information.
Yeah.
And it answers all these questions. I actually wanted to spend a whole morning reading it, but I would have missed the show. So here I am. Andy's going to teach us instead. So what is Action Girl? What do you do for Burning Man?
I'm Burning Man's communications manager and regional network manager. So all of the media relations, the external facing communication about who we are and what we do, talking to ourselves, talking to our participants, talking to the world about Burning Man. That's part of what I do. And then the regional network is a community of volunteers year round that help to keep Burning Man alive where they live. So there's about 140 regional contacts out there in the world, and they're all connected by a network. And so I help to manage that as well.
So where are these people located, the 140 people? Like, how far out does it go?
We have contacts in, now I can't remember the number of states, but many, many states and at least 20 countries, I think.
Oh, my God.
Most recent additions would be, they're all over Europe. There's Japan. There's Australia has a pretty burgeoning community.
So do they come from as far as those locations to the event?
A lot of them do. There are folks that have at least made the visit once and went back home and tried to organize community where they are. We hear from people who haven't yet been to the event, and we require that you've been at least once before you can be a regional contact. Typically, there are people that come back year after year, but
Everyone can afford to from Australia,
yeah.
I can imagine.
Often the trip is, like the Italian contact wrote the other day, and they're not going to be able to make it this year, but they'll do something at home to celebrate their orphan or burns and things like that. People who watch the web stream from home and get together. So,
okay, that's what I was wondering, what you mean by keeping the community, you know, alive where they are. So they do sort of events in its likeness?
Sort of. The rough organizational structure around the regional community is that Burning Man espouses what it calls 10 principles that are present at our events and that we work toward.
Which are?
Gosh, you want me to name them all? They are listed on our website, linked from the front homepage.
What are the top three?
Decommodification is one
Which
example
means what
that means our experiences on the playa at the event are not mediated by commercial interactions. So there's nothing for sale at Burning Man. You can buy coffee and ice because those are public health functions. Beyond that, you can't come there and sell your jewelry to pay for your trip, or you can't buy a t-shirt at the t-shirt booth. There's nothing for sale, and it's not really barter either. It's about gifts. And so commodification refers to turning everything into a commercial transaction. When you walk down the street in Black Rock City, you know that you're not there to buy something and get something from each other or trade something. It's about being there in the moment with each other, and it's not an economy-based interaction.
Do you guys limit people coming to, say, advertise their business as well in that other regard?
Actually, yes. We encourage people to cover the logos on their rental vans, for example, and people don't hand out promotional goods for their company or things like that. If you are found doing that, you'll generally hear from your neighbors pretty quickly that it's not allowed. It's in the survival guide that we don't allow that sort of activity there.
Okay. For the same kind of reasons.
Exactly. And another one of the principles is radical inclusion. You can't throw a regional event and have it be an underground rave where you have to get a secret address from somebody. Everybody is welcome at Burning Man. We welcome the stranger, and it doesn't matter who you are. You're invited to participate. So it's a lot of things that govern kind of what we mean when we say Burning Man, and all these folks that are regional contacts. It basically started when people started contacting us and saying, Burning Man's only a week, and I don't really want to wait a year to feel like that. How can I bring Burning Man home?
Okay.
And so they do events, and some of them do camp out style events where there's a thing that you burn at the end that's very similar to the Burning Man experience. But that's not the main purpose of it. It's really about gathering people around those philosophies and ideals year round. So it can manifest as events. It can manifest as just getting together and look at photos of Burning Man in a cafe. People do volunteerism. They do welding workshops. They connect with each other around the things that they care about at Burning Man. It's really, really active, and manifold different ideas are happening all the time.
And you're kind of like the liaison for that?
Yeah, there's actually a committee of us at the Burning Man office that help to sort of administrate and support them with the things they need. We give them mailing lists. We give them space on the website. Help to identify their events as official if they want to have official events. And mostly put them into communion with one another to talk about the experiences. We've got people who have been regionals for 10 and 15 years now, and new people coming aboard all the time. So they're all in a list together where they can have an environment and talk about organizing community and what it takes to bring people together and how to do volunteer events and things like that. So,
wow. What is the business of Burning Man? So you say you have an office. Where is the office located?
We have an office in San Francisco. There's about 30 or so full-time employees, including a few that are at our office in Gerlach, Nevada, close to where the event is. We actually have an office there as well.
Is that a full-time year-round office in Gerlach?
It's there year-round. It's not as busy, obviously, in the wintertime, but we have a work...
Who gets downgraded to live in Gerlach?
Well, we actually love it there. Okay. We have a work ranch nearby where... Long ago, we discovered that trucking all of that stuff over the desert or over the pass every year didn't make a lot of sense, and we started leasing and then later looking at buying property out there. And we keep all of the infrastructural stuff on the work ranch. And there's a ranch manager that lives out there, and then there's our office manager that's out there. And then seasonally, things start to gear up. The place is hopping right now.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
So... You guys own that property?
We own a little bit of property in Gerlach. We have the office and some, I think the ranch up north as well. But in San Francisco, there are about 25 of us in a full-time office. And the organization is actually an LLC right now. So it's a six-member board. And then, like I said, about 25 employees. And then lots and lots of seasonal folks that come in over the summer, either contractors or part-time. And then lots and lots of volunteers.
The board, does it have the original founder of Burning Man or the guy that started it?
Larry Harvey is the executive director of Burning Man now, yes.
So did he start the company? Did he always participate after it grew?
He has gone to every burn and been involved very, very deeply in every single one. It was 1996, I believe, that they incorporated as an LLC, identifying that they needed to basically conduct some business and move money around, and they formed an LLC, and those six members are all still the original members.
And it's trademarked as well. Is that correct,
Burning Yes. Man? Okay. Burning Man and Black Rock City are both trademarks, as well as the phrase decompression, which we use for the post-event parties that that we do in San Francisco and some of the regional groups do. That's one of our trademarks
for sure.
As well. Reno decompression.
Yeah.
So those are all protected trademarks.
What's the concept of the decompression party for the Fox News listeners who probably haven't attended Burning Man?
So Burning Man is kind of a different environment. Like I said, all the absence of commercial interactions and it is just a socially very different environment. And people kind of come home, and it can feel a little intense to return to the real world and have people glower at you on the bus after you've been in such a friendly and open place for so long. And so we started having and seeing other people have these decompression events. And the phrase comes from when you go scuba diving and you return to the surface too fast. So this is a way of kind of getting back into our little Burning
Safety
Man world.
And
experiencing it a little bit more and easing our transition back to the world. So they happen a couple of weeks after the event.
And they're like just a one night kind of thing. Locally.
Typically, yeah. So far, they're often a day and night component. In San Francisco, we have a daytime and a nighttime component, and try to have a component where people under the age of 21 can join. So it's not just an event in a bar.
So do you guys? It started in San Francisco, right? The original
on the beach in San Francisco on Baker Beach.
Okay, and when did it move to the Black Rock City, as you call it?
So the event was the first one was in 1986, and. They built this man and lit it on fire on the beach. These friends that got together to do that. And dozens of people came running up the beach to say, what is that tall stick figure on fire? Mm-hmm. And they realized, hey, we're kind of onto something. And they did it for 3 years in that location. And by the third year, there were 300 people showing up for this thing.
Oh,
and
wow.
And it's a, 15 foot tall
same
thing.
Dates? They
yeah.
Did it, the same.
It was the summer solstice.
Okay.
And the police finally showed up to that third time and said, you can't really just do this here. And so they made an agreement on the spot to not burn the man where it was and that they would do it later instead. So they went ahead and had their event, and then they decided to put the man away in storage. And somebody mentioned, well, I know of a place in the middle of the desert where there's nothing that could catch on fire and nobody who would complain about this happening out there.
Who is this strange person that knew where
Michael is his name.
There you go.
And he's one of the six founding board members, actually.
Okay.
And they decided to take it over Labor Day weekend and do a small camp out. They went to the storage space to get the man and found that it had actually been chopped up and destroyed by the guy who owned the space. I'm not really clear on that story. I was still in high school at this point.
Yeah, no kidding.
But then, so they built another one and they took it out to the desert, and there were about 80 people that first burned on the desert, and that was Labor Day weekend.
And what a rural, nothing place without any facility. That must have been a shock to
not
these 80 people.
Not a plant. Nothing grows there.
I mean, you guys bring everything now, so it's way more acclimated to human consumption. But back then, I know I had friends. I started college in 92, and I had friends that went in the 92 range always, and it was very rough, shall
Extreme
we say.
Extreme desert camping.
No rules. They had no police, no porta-potty system, nothing like it is now, for sure. So is it a income producing business, Burning Man? Are they trying to generate income and, grow in other avenues?
Well, the LLC has not really existed for the purpose of profit. Basically, all the profits go into making the event. We don't accept sponsorships. There's never been a single corporate sponsor for Burning Man. We've turned a lot of them away, actually.
Oh, wow.
And all of our revenue basically comes from ticket sales, and it's sunk into creating the event that happens. And increasingly over time, as we're supporting this regional network and we're starting to look at what else Burning Man means besides that week in the desert, we are looking at actually this year, probably what's going to happen is we're looking at turning the organization into a nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
And that would open up a lot of avenues for us to do some of these other things that we've been supporting for a while, like the regional network, like BlackRock Solar, I mentioned to you a little while ago, is an offshoot organization, a nonprofit that we started. We also have a nonprofit for the arts called the BlackRock Arts Foundation.
I was going to ask about those. When we get back from the break, let's talk about those in more detail because I'm interested in hearing about those. We have to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. For the listeners, thanks so much.
You may love his politics, or not so much, but he'll let you talk about it. Michael Smirkanish, weekday mornings at 10 on Fox News Radio 1270.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us. If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Hands can do incredible things. This is the sound of two hands helping to save a life. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life. For more information on this latest method of CPR, visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
Well, it started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. I'm learning to fly, but I ain't got wings. Coming down is the hardest thing.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and we have the lovely Andy Grace in the studio to talk about Burning Man as the business entity and the intellectual property side of the world. We talked about Burning Man, the Survivor's Guide from some local delights that go every year and sell the tickets a couple weeks ago, and that was really informative. And this is a fun follow-up, particularly with it starting soon. Again, if you guys want to call in and talk to Andy or myself, 823-1920 is the call-in number. And Andy and I were just going to speak of the offshoots that the Burning Man business is becoming diversified, shall we say, and they have the Black Rocks Arts Foundation, for one. What is that, Andy?
The Black Rock Arts Foundation was founded in 03, I hope I got that right, to help to bring into being the kind of art that you see at Burning Man, interactive art, in other parts of the world. So there's a common misperception that it funds the art that happens at Burning Man, but that happens out of ticket sales and through the LLC. The Black Rock Arts Foundation seeks to bring that kind of art elsewhere in the world. And there's actually a couple of BRAF projects that have been in Reno, the Celtic Forest installation, and Kate Rodenbush has a piece out in front of the Art Museum right now, the Nevada Museum of Art. And it's basically they take grantees from all over the world. They take applications from all over the world and do the kind of art that gets people to, rather than just look at it, to come up and interact with it, to build it together, to climb on it, to push it around. And the kind of art that creates community by its existence or its creation.
I totally love that, because I'm seriously the girl that goes to every museum and sets off the alarms. Because, like, for me, if there's an oil painting, I want to touch it and feel the topography of its, like, structure. And I always, like, try to follow it with my fingers away far enough that I won't set the alarm off, and I set it off every time. I'm like, oh, I set the... It's so embarrassing.
That's what's great about the art at Burning Man, is that, you know, you can stand side by side with a stranger and look at a painting and say, my, isn't that lovely? But if you're standing side by side with a stranger at a piece of art where there's a drum, and you look at each other and say, what happens if you hit it? And then you have an interaction with the art together, and something beautiful happens. It can create an interesting interaction that wouldn't be there otherwise. So,
where are they installing these sort of art pieces other places besides what you spoke of in Reno?
There have been a few installations in San Francisco. I would have to, because BRAF is actually a completely separate organization with an intense infrastructure all its own. So I would have to ask them for their latest wave of grantees. I think they had about 12 or 15 grantees this cycle.
Oh, cool.
They're BlackRock Arts Foundation, blackrockartsfoundation.org, if anybody wants to take a look at that.
Neat. And do they transport some of that art to the actual event and then back? Or
sometimes that art doesn't make its way to the playa. Like
or
I
vice
said,
versa.
Yeah, it's not the main purpose of it. But it's the kind of art that sometimes in its lifetime will certainly end up on the playa. But.
Well, and some of the stuff on the playa, I would assume or hope, makes its way outside the playa because it's so interesting.
Yeah, a lot of people think, wow, you burn all that art at the end. And more over time, and you know, a lot of things aren't made out of burnable stuff anyway.
Sure. There's so much metal out there, for
example.
Yeah,
exactly. But we see a lot of people that, you know, one of the things we realized when BRAF began was that there was a lot of art just sitting in Bay Area warehouses and maybe would be brought back to Burning Man the next year, but otherwise was just kind of packed away. So, and it takes money to install a piece in a civic setting and work with the city and work with the neighbors and all of that.
And
so,
time.
Yeah. So, and many, many pieces are coming home from Burning Man and having another life somewhere, whether it's through installations like what the Black Rock Arts Foundation is able to do. The Ray Gun Rocket Ship is a beautiful piece from last year at Burning Man that is now installed on a pier in San Francisco through a grant from the Black Rock Arts Foundation. But also, there are people selling those works to private entities or installing them in public places, not through BRAF, but, you know, selling them to businesses that want a big piece of art for outside. So it's really exciting to see artists' pieces getting beyond the orange trash fence at our events and out into the world.
And I'm not educated in the world of art or much of anything, let's be honest, but this stuff is actually attractive to me. Like, I am not of the philosophy that, like, anyone's an artist and they can throw paint on a canvas and it's attractive. It makes me nauseous half the time. I'm like, this is a pile of crap. Thank you. And it's amazing what they build. The size of these things and the structure. Is there somebody that oversees the projects? They have to get approval, especially the bigger ones, like in engineering, because it's unbelievable the engineering feats that they can accomplish out on the playa. And they're safe. I mean, people are on these giant swings or they're climbing them. I assume you have someone in the organization that has some say in, is it going to collapse?
We do definitely watch closely for risk management and all of that. The majority of the larger projects, although not all of them by any means, are actually funded through our grant program.
Uh-huh.
So they're honorarium art, we call that. And in order to win one of those grants, you have to submit a complete proposal that shows everything from the engineering to
like
your cleanup plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so a lot of those are kind of pre-vetted. And we also have an entire department that, between heavy equipment and the art installation folks that place it, that really do a lot of work with them to make sure that things are safe. Yeah.
What is the cleanup philosophy at Burning Man for those that haven't been?
Three words, leave no trace. We leave nothing on that playa that wasn't, we take everything away even if it was there when we got there. It's a completely blank slate. Nothing grows there and nothing is found there when you get there. So down to the last sequin, which we don't actually encourage people to wear because they fall off of your clothes and they leave a trace. All your trash, all of your gray water, everything that you bring with you, you have to pack back out.
Okay.
There's not a single trash can in Black Rock City that is available for people to throw their stuff into.
And there's, you get in trouble if you throw your gray water on the playa then?
Yeah, you can actually be fined by the BLM.
Okay.
The Bureau of Land Management is the group that, or the federal agency that we basically lease this portion of public lands from for this week. And part of the stipulations in the STIPS, it's called, this document includes that everything will be removed at the end of the event.
Do they have enforcement people on the playa during the week? The BLM actually has representatives out there ready to cite?
Yeah, I mean, the BLM is present, both their law enforcement side and their land management side. But more often than anything, it's your neighbors that'll tell you when you're doing something wrong. You dropped a cigarette butt on the ground, you're going to hear about it from somebody within 50 feet of you.
I wish this would, like, translate outside the playa, because it drives me nuts. If someone throws a cigarette on the window, I'm always honking at
them.
The
world is not your ashtray.
It's gross.
It's kind of funny, because the first time I went to Burning Man, I was a smoker back then. I'm no longer. But I remember being so deeply affected by walking, going away from that and going back into the city and being like, I can't throw my cigarette butts on the ground. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
And I never could do it again. And still to this day walk around and pick them up. Gum I'll leave sitting. I don't touch that. But
well, no, don't pick up cigarettes. But I mean, people that chuck gum out the window, I'm like, gross.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when you spend a week with everything that you create and everything that you brought with you, if you try to get rid of it, it sits there at your feet until you deal with it. It really puts you into a different frame of mind the rest of the year and how you deal with the trash that we generate.
I'd be interested in seeing how much trash I generate in a week, because obviously I just cart it out to my trash can and don't think about it. And I know it's a lot.
Yeah, so. It's really a lot. We encourage people to, you know, break down packaging before you even come and just bring the inner bag from your cereal and don't bring the box.
Yeah, for sure.
It makes things a lot easier. But it's definitely, it's just like camping in any super remote area. We don't want any sign.
Let me just throw this out there. Having backpacked once, it was an interesting experience, but I'm not a big granola. So.
Well, lots of people come in their RVs too.
Yeah, no, that's the way I would probably do it. So BlackRock Solar, what is that?
BlackRock Solar was founded as, in 2007, our theme, we have an art theme every year, and the art theme in 2007 was the Green Man. And it was about exploring man's relationship to nature. And logically, that was the year that every magazine had a green issue and all products were green.
Oh, I know. That drove me nuts.
We picked it before that all happened. But
dirty trendsetter.
Exactly. but basically, we kind of examined our entire operation as an organization and really tried to get things as environmentally sound as we could with how we do business and how we organize that many people getting together in one space for an entertainment event. And that year, someone had given us some solar panels to operate the neon on the man, because the man is illuminated with neon. And somewhere during the course of the event, somebody said, well, we should do something with these panels after the event. Why don't we give them to the school in Gerlach? And they could take themselves off the grid and offset their power. And that basically snowballed into the creation of a nonprofit whose purpose was to give away solar power to underfunded buildings in Nevada. They've just passed one million watts of power given away to schools, to libraries, to museums.
And they're using it?
They're all, you know,
we have so much sun here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Like 362 days a year, we're pure sun. And all we get is cancer for it. So I seriously think it's amazing to not use solar here. And
there's
wind.
A ton of solar
crazy
power here
wind
right now,
too, as you guys know on the playa.
Yes.
So maybe you'll branch out into wind power in the future.
Yeah, BlackRock Solar is now a burgeoning and, I mean, a totally functional nonprofit all its own, and it has a bunch of projects still lined up ahead, and it has an educational component too to do jobs training for solar installation and teach kids in schools about solar power, and it's really great.
Wow. So let's talk about the media world of the Burning Man entity. What sort of restrictions do you guys have as a result of it being trademarked as far as media?
Well, I mean, the trademark trademark applies to people trying to use our name in a context to sell goods or to represent themselves as affiliated with Burning Man. The media covering the event doesn't too much wander into the trademark realm, but we have some pretty strict restrictions on the use of images from the event.
I saw that on the website, so let's talk about it.
Yeah, so from back before the days of digital photography, every photographer who's shooting professionally or for public distribution and every videographer who's doing any kind of project has to register with us as a member of the press and be given approval to shoot at the event. We don't allow just free reign on cameras. You have to identify yourself that you're shooting for the purposes of public distribution and receive approval before you can put that production out.
Is it hard to get approval, or
it's not really. We are, over the years, we've become more and more selective because we've kind of seen tons of documentaries and tons of coverage. We really
that
look
suck.
For yeah.
It's basically you're trying to keep the integrity of it.
Exactly. It's really important to our participants to see the event represented positively and appropriately, and not just have people come in on day six and say, let's aim the camera at the shiny thing and that girl over there with her top off and
yeah,
call seriously. It good.
It's not Girls Gone Wild.
Exactly.
Video time,
and we've actually fought and won against a group called Voyeur Video that came in and tried to film that sort of thing at the event.
Oh,
because
wow.
of the restrictions that we have in place, you can't operate any video camera, whether personal or public, or professional in BlackRock City without a written agreement. And if you're just shooting for yourself, you sign a written agreement that says, I'm only going to show this to my friends and family. And if you ever want to do anything else with it, you can. You just get in touch with us first, and we have to review the footage, and we look for privacy violations, basically. And if you're...
Oh, so someone's boobs, you don't go on Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, you know...
When you say friends and family, does that include Facebook, or do you want them to be media if they're Facebook?
These days, it actually does. Over time, we started to acknowledge that way that a lot of people share with friends and family is Facebook, Flickr, et cetera. So that qualifies as personal use until it doesn't. If you have you're a professional photographer and you have 6,000 friends on your Facebook page, you're probably shooting for professional purposes and you probably have some sort of commercial element that's attached to it anyway. And it's expected that if I put a picture of you up on Facebook at Burning Man riding, you know, a giant horse car down the street and you're wearing a dress and you happen to be an alderman or something and you want that photo to disappear, you're supposed to work that out with each other and take that photo down if somebody doesn't want their photo up.
That's fair. We have to take another break and hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about the future of Burning Man as a business. We sort of touched on it, but I want to hear a little more about it. We'll be right back.
Who's on your Schnitt list? Todd Schnitt's list is growing every day. Listen live weekdays at noon. The Schnitt Show, Fox News Radio 1270.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. Are you tired of being ignored and mistreated? Don't let your divorce lawyer treat you like your wife did. I thought divorce was about breaking free from the ball and chain. At our office, you get competence with personality and hopefully some laughs to take the edge off. Divorce is hard enough. Don't let your lawyer be part of the pain. Let's be honest. Legal representation is expensive, but often necessary. As the saying goes, everyone hates lawyers until they need one. You can get punished for free by calling your ex. Don't pay your attorney for punishment when you're finally getting rid of her. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net. Not calm.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us. If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Fox 1270.
Won't you bring all the flowers to buy?
You're back on the Marilyn York Show with Andy Grace from Burning Man, LLC. And we are talking about the legal world of Burning Man. And we were just touching base on the intellectual property of Burning Man and the restrictions on media use. And I know that Andy and I, when we spoke to prep for the show, had spoken about it changing. So what sort of changes are going on right now with the media restrictions?
So like I mentioned, we've had some relatively strict policies over the years on the use of images from the event, requiring permission, basically, before you can use them in a commercial or public context. And there's obviously a written agreement that goes with that has some pretty strong language in it about what happens if something goes wrong. Last year, the Electronic Frontier Foundation wrote a blog post basically attacking us for these policies and saying one of their complaints was that the agreement actually takes copyright ownership if one of your photos is used in a way that we don't like or didn't approve of. And we inserted that to be able to enforce against unwanted uses, because if there's a Pepsi ad with a Burning Man photo on it, we need to be able to go after Pepsi and get that taken down right away, not have to dig out who the photographer was and maybe they comply and maybe they don't.
Sure.
We really don't want our event commodified in that way. But the photographers very rightly have said, well, but if you own my copyright, what happens in 10 years and why are you taking it and what are you going to do with my photos? And I own my work. And they're absolutely right. They do own their work. And what we're really trying to look out for is just basically making sure that porn and advertising aren't created at Burning Man. Those are our main concerns. So the EFF wrote the blog post. We wrote a counter post. We basically ended up getting into a space where we were working with the EFF and a group called Creative Commons for ways that we could evolve our licenses to be more user-friendly and to be more have more explanation about what is really going on when we say we have joint copyright if there's a violation. So this year, for example, we've written it in so that it says we don't take copyright. We take joint copyright for the purposes of enforcing against the unwanted use, and we promise in writing that we're never going to do anything else with your image. That's helped clear up a lot of the complaints. We're also just basically working on trying to make the entire language more human readable and
not so legalese.
Exactly, exactly. I love the phrase "human readable," as though lawyers aren't humans and the rest of us
are. We're so not humans, actually, Andy. We're not. Let me just confirm that.
I love attorneys. They're some of my favorite people in the world.
Only the good ones that go to Burning Man.
Well,
the
and
nasty
a lot of
ones
them.
Are still with me in Reno working. So has that been made official now for this particular year?
Those changes are in the use agreements for this year, and our website has had some. We've hosted a discussion among people who shoot photos, who do movies at the event, about what their side of the story is and why, how the policies affect them. We had the organizers of a bike race, a women's bike race, where women ride topless in a parade on Friday in Center Camp. Traditionally that's been a very hot area for photography, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And not every woman who rides in that race wants her photo taken. So there's been a big public discussion about what's appropriate there and how you can ask permission and how that affects the women that ride in the race. So we've been just kind of trying to bring this conversation
to
the surface.
Can't they write, like, no photos, please, in body paint under their boobs?
It's one idea.
Because then at least people know.
Well, and it's hard. It's a public event. It's a private event that's held on public property. And over the years, our participants, in hearing that we require that you ask permission first if you can and that there are all these restrictions, have kind of come to think that means it's a free-for-all. And the fact of the matter is that we can't just enforce against certain kinds of photography. Everybody has a camera these days.
Yeah,
and I can't,
their phones,
I don't have the resources to chase down every time somebody takes a photo of you, even if it's a an embarrassing photo.
Kind of, we call that assumption of the risk in the legal world. If you take your top off with an event of 50,000 people and ride a bike through town, don't whine if your boobies are on camera, especially if they're good boobies or really bad ones.
Well,
I would photograph the bad ones personally because I'm evil.
Well, and the thing about this ride is that nudity is not always sexual. And
yeah,
in this instance, you know, there are women who are writing that have had mastectomies.
Sure.
There are women who are older. It's not a sexual display. And it's really an immediate event. It's for the people that are there. It's for them to have that experience.
Sure.
It's not for pervy guys to show up and put photos on porn sites. And we've shut that down in the past because of these restrictions that we have on photography. It's not that we stop anybody from ever taking photos at that event.
Yeah, you couldn't, like
we
you said.
We couldn't and we wouldn't want to. It's obviously you know, it's a moment that doesn't happen anywhere else in the world.
Capture. Sure.
But when you have a photo on a website that's clearly a pornographic website that is clearly of women who were not aware of the camera, then the restrictions that we have in place have allowed us to interact with those images and have them taken down when we or the subjects feel like they need to come down.
You guys have a full-time attorney on staff, correct?
We have.
Or more than one.
We have a lot of attorneys that we have relationships with. One of our staff members, Ray Allen, is actually a reformed attorney himself. But the intellectual property stuff is mostly managed by our attorney, who's been our general counsel for a very long time. And he's mostly volunteer, too. He does a lot of volunteer work because he's a dyed-in-the-wool burner and he's been going for so long and he really cares about it. But there's also a whole team of other people that we use depending on the issue.
Okay. And what other legal issues are there? I mean, like Ray Allen, for example, does he interact with the criminal side if there's charges brought on the playa? I know there's a group in Reno that kind of got involved with that. Eric Pulver is a friend of mine who does family law, and I know he and a couple other attorneys, Sarah, who used to work for me, got involved in a couple cases where people were being cited for marijuana possession or DUI,
right.
You know, that had some suspect circumstances about the sighting, and it's a federal crime because it's BLM land.
Right.
So it was a big deal for the person that got cited,
right.
Much more so than just a state citations.
Yeah. There are five law enforcement agencies present at Black Rock City, and the law is fully in effect. And that free environment that sometimes people feel kind of leaves sometimes people acting as though the law doesn't apply to them in that space. And so you can get in just as much trouble there as you can anywhere else. We have really, you know, we have strong and good relationships with these folks and we work with them closely. But over the years, groups have evolved to help take care of people when they feel like their rights have been violated in the pursuit of such prosecutions, and a group called Lawyers for Burners is the one I think you're thinking of, have actually organized to be, you know, attorneys who are on hand, who know the specifics of Burning Man, mm-hmm. and can help you go through the court system and deal with your citation.
The drug and alcohol representation at Burning Man, I mean, is it a significant component? Forget the alcohol. It's just drugs specifically. Is this a huge part of Burning Man, in your opinion, or based on what you've seen?
Well, I was just talking to my companion that I'm writing up here with about her first year on the playa and how she had heard that it was, you know, that was very present at the event. And the fact is that any city is going to have that element.
Sure.
And she said she spent that entire week not seeing any evidence of it, except for maybe seeing one person who looked a little out of it. And then she went home and went to a concert, and the first person she ran into offered her drugs. It is a city. There are 50,000 sure. people there with a lot of different backgrounds. It's not the purpose of the event, for sure. And I would say for anybody to think that they need to go all the way out in that godforsaken desert for the purposes of doing drugs when you can do that in your own living room.
You can't get them as easily. And there's five law enforcement agencies present.
And there's no vending. So you'd be in violation of not only the laws, but our philosophies.
It. And gifting Coke is an expensive process for people. It's not like donuts.
I would also dare to say that, you know, that it's not the smartest environment to experiment with your body.
Yeah.
And it's weird enough already. Certainly in a celebratory environment like that, people celebrate, they party, they have a good time.
Sure.
And there are bars that give away alcohol and things like that. But there are plenty of people who go who don't touch alcohol or drugs. There are 12-step camps that have meetings twice a day. There are families present. There are octogenarians. It's a community of all kinds of people.
Well, that's good to know. Speaking of Burning Man, as usual, I'm going to remind all of my listeners to go to Junkie Clothing Exchange, which is like the hubbub of all Burning Man outfits. That and Melting Pot across the street, of course. But Junkie is located at 960 South Virginia Street in Reno, and it's open every day from 11 to 7. And I wouldn't be shocked if their hours were even longer for Burning Man season. But they just had a Burning Man show there, Jessica put on. And I'm sorry to say I was in New York and missed it, because I bet it was amazing. So get your butts over to Junkie right now, after I'm done talking to you. And we'll be right back after the break.
There's a lot going on right here in Nevada. Rather than just hear about it, talk about it. 6 to 10 weekdays, Fox 1270 in the morning.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics. even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this. And you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. The legendary Mustang Ranch Museum. Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes. And they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us. If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and we have the lovely Andy Grace in the studio talking about Burning Man, the company, the entity, and the nonprofit organizations. And there's also something that apparently is not a nonprofit organization that spins off from it, and we're going to speak about that. If you want to call, this is your last chance. 823-1920 is the call-in number, and as usual, you can Facebook me, but now you have to do it on my personal until I figure out where my fan page disappeared to. Maybe it went to Burning Man already. I don't know, but I'm ticked off. So, Burners Without Borders, what is that, Andy? Share with the world.
So, in 2005, while we were at Burning Man in the month of August, Hurricane Katrina sprung up and headed for the Gulf Coast. And we learned about it very slowly because nobody's out there watching TV and reading the newspaper.
And you have no phone signal out there.
Exactly. But as the word started to get into the city, people started to come together. Obviously, we had some New Orleans burners, some Gulf Coast burners that were there, people who have family there. Mm-hmm. And we ended up having kind of a concentration of efforts to educate and get donations. We took some donations. And a lot of people saying, I want to go help. And that energy started to spin into this. It was becoming clear that people were going to get in their cars and head straight from Burning Man to go down to the Gulf Coast and help. And what's interesting about that is basically that is that they spent this week in this environment where you help your neighbor and you see something going on where somebody needs help, you just jump in and do it. That's part of what one of our philosophies are.
Or pretend you can't see them.
Yeah, look the other way. Look at that bird up in the sky. So a bunch of burners from different areas of the community, Temple Crew, DPW, a lot of different artists, hopped in their cars and headed to the Gulf Coast to go help out. And we saw that happening and supported them first with the donations that had come together and then started aiming resources, aiming new volunteers, aiming some of our money as an organization to supporting their presence in the Gulf Coast. And people would try to volunteer, say, with Red Cross and be told, you got to go through our certification, you got to do this, you got to do that. And these were people who were all about action. So they just went down there and did it. And they found some way to help. And they stuck with each other because their shared philosophies made them easy campmates and made it possible to work together really easily. Over the course of about 6 months, over 200 volunteers went through. And they ended up doing, with a donation of some heavy equipment, about $1 million worth of free demolition for people who had lost their homes.
Oh my God.
Which made it possible for those folks to actually get a FEMA trailer and get started on rebuilding their lives. They also rebuilt a Buddhist temple that had been completed the day before the storm hit and completely decimated for this Vietnamese community down in Biloxi. So they ended up leaving the Gulf Coast, but the meme of helping others in need when other systems are failing has stuck. And they jokingly started calling themselves Burners Without Borders down there because they needed a T-shirt. They wanted to get a T-shirt because a lot of the volunteer groups down there had those. But it evolved into the name of this organization, this meme, this idea. It's not a separate nonprofit. It's kind of a cross between a Burning Man theme camp and a nonprofit and just an idea that burners can get together out there in the world and help each other and help people who are in need. They've had actions. It's not a disaster relief organization in the traditional sense that you hear about something and you send people down. It's what do you want to do where you are, where there's a problem. So there are people that have gone down to Peru after an earthquake there. They've been down in Haiti. All over the world, there are Burners Without Borders crews doing volunteer work all year long. So when we say Burning Man, we mean a lot more than just that week in the desert.
I know. And I seriously had no idea it was such a positive organization or that the people were so positive, because I, like so many people, just had kind of the view of like the party scene of it, you know. And I have a lot of amazing friends that go and they're really good people. So it's not shocking, but they don't do these sort of outreach parts of it, but they probably are aware of them. So I think it's nice for the media locally, because I don't feel like Burning Man gets the coverage it deserves in Reno and doesn't get the positive spin that it deserves. Mostly what I see on the news is the broken down vehicles on I-80, which is kind of hilarious. Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that they should cover this more and recognize the revenue it brings into our town in a positive way in a bad economy. And so I think that it's really great that you came on and shared all of those things that I had no knowledge of. And again, if you guys want to go on burningman.com and check out the website, you'll see a lot of this information and more information available to you. Speaking of the website, radical self-reliance is one of the philosophies, one of the 10 commandments, shall we say.
What 10 does that principles.
Mean? Principles. You're like, oh God, don't get religion.
Well, you know, 10 was good enough for Moses is good enough for us.
So what is that? Explain that.
Radical self-reliance is one of our philosophies that basically says that in an intense environment like that, you come to rely on your own inner resources. And the experience of being in that intense environment where wind storms can kick up at 60 miles an hour and whiteouts and not having any store to run to and buy the thing that you forgot at home really means you have to draw upon your inner resources. And that might mean you have to do it yourself, or it might mean you got to suck it up and go talk to your neighbor and ask them for help. So it's really one of our founding philosophies that makes a difference when somebody's looking at you whining, well, why don't you have this or why don't you have that? Or my experience sucks right now. Well, what are you going to do about it? Because I'm here taking care of myself.
Yeah, prepare better. Like, you really need to prepare to be out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just survival.
Yep.
I like it particularly because we're living in the entitlement generation.
Yes.
And she and I are both a part of and certainly have seen the repercussions of. So I think it's an important philosophy that should reach outside Burning Man, because it's a sad world sometimes when people don't do it.
Well, and it's coupled with one of other philosophies, which is communal effort. It's not just about you solo out there trying to do that. It's about working together.
And other people will help you. Just ask them.
Exactly.
But if they need help, help them.
Yes.
So It's a neat philosophy. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and I hope you have an amazing week at Burning Man, Andy.
Thank you.
And her adorable daughter's going, and she's gorgeous. She's waiting outside the studio for her mommy. If you guys want to check out old shows, like I said before, or see what's coming up next week, themarilynyorkshow.com. I believe that Dorothy Nash Holmes is coming on next week as my guest, and she is going to talk about her running for judge. So it should be a really interesting show. Thank you guys for listening, and hello to the cab drivers. And Reno Sparks taxi drivers, that is. I think they should actually start going to Burning Man and dropping people off and maybe charging a little special fee for that, because then we would have less broken down cars on I-80. Just a little side note. I know they go to my local favorite whorehouse, Mustang Ranch. So get your butts to Burning Man. Thanks again for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.